Welcome. You've connected to Citizens Climate Lobby Climate Advocate Training Lesson Number 1. Before you get started, we want to acknowledge that each and every one of you are taking time away from your families, your friends, or your hobbies to listen to this lesson and to work on something that is so much larger than ourselves. And for that, we're extremely grateful. In this lesson, Brett Cease and I will be taking turns presenting. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Amy Bennett. I'm the Director of Operations for Citizens Climate Lobby, and I've been with the organization since almost the beginning in 2007. Brett?
Thanks, Amy. Howdy, everyone. And my name is Brett Cease. I've been volunteering with Citizens Climate Lobby since 2011, and I'm the regional coordinator down here in sunny Dallas for the Third Coast. And what we're going to start with today is actually just walking through how to find the intro call. Most of you have already been able to listen in, but just in case you haven't had a chance to do that yet, we recommend doing so very soon. You can find the recording of the intro call by going to our website, the homepage, and then clicking on the very far right magnifying glass in the upper right corner, and then entering intro call in that text box to search. On the intro call, we covered three things. First, we discussed the founding of Citizens Climate Lobby and its history, and then we moved through and talked about how Citizens Climate Lobby works to create that political will, and how our fundamental perspective is that politicians respond to rather than create political will. And then lastly, we described our legislative proposal, Carbon Fee and Dividend, which will address climate change in the most rapid, comprehensive, and equitable manner possible. In this lesson, what we're going to be talking about is three different topics as well. Citizens Climate Lobby's organizational structure, how citizens create political will, and diving into the specifics. And then lastly, the tools that we use to generate and create political will. This call is going to be followed up by a part two of Climate Advocate Training, and in that lesson, we'll be covering the methodology of Citizens Climate Lobby, as well as going over specific lobby training, and then diving in deep to the carbon fee and dividend details of the policy and our legislative solution. But for now, I'm going to turn it back over to Amy to get us started on today's call.
Thank you, Brett. Let's get started by reviewing how Citizens Climate Lobby is organized. CCL is volunteer-driven. It's an organization that is organized locally by chapters. You may hear the term chapter or group used interchangeably with CCL volunteers. They mean the same thing. A group or a chapter is a local team that's creating political will within a specific congressional district or within a state. CCL has hundreds of groups across North America in places like Madison, Wisconsin, Atlanta, Georgia, San Diego, California, Toronto, as well as Europe, Australia, Africa, Asia, and even Central America. Each chapter has a group leader or a couple of group leaders who help organize and coordinate the local activities of the group. The group may be in varying stages of development. One group may have one person who's just getting the group started, and there are others that are more established that have dozens of members. So if you're new to CCL and haven't hooked up with your local chapter, then you'll want to do that as soon as possible. Now, Brett is going to tell us about CCL regions within the United States.
Thanks, Amy. So how Citizens Climate Lobby divides up the U.S. is essentially 11 different regions that you can see here on the slide. For example, we have the Greater Pacific Northwest region or the Southeast region. You can see that the different regions listed on the map on the screen are really comprised within a certain territory, and each region has a regional coordinator, which I'm one of them in the Third Coast down there for Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And that regional coordinator is somebody who supports all of the group leaders in that region within that geographic area. So you can find your local chapter and your group leader by clicking on the Find Your Local Chapter link on the new volunteer toolkit that you were sent or could find on CCL Community. And from there, you can really look also under About CCL on the homepage to find groups listed by state and click on the one that's closest to you. If no organized group exists in your area, reach out and contact us. Amy's email is listed right there, and we'll put you in touch with the folks closest to you. Now I'll turn it back over to you, Amy, to discuss the liaison role.
Thanks, Brett. One other role we should mention is that of the congressional liaison. A Citizens Climate Lobby liaison is someone who is the representative for CCL when the group contacts a congressional staffer. Since there are 535 members of Congress, CCL's goal is to have one personal liaison for each of those offices and their staff. The liaisons build an ongoing relationship with their member of Congress and their staff by maintaining regular personal contact and coordinating the group's communication with that office. What we're working on is a complex issue, climate change. So having one consistent point of contact with each office of a member of Congress makes that process of communicating about climate change and our solution much more efficient and rewarding for both CCL volunteers and for the congressional staffers with whom we're working. The liaison is the representative for the CCL chapter, and the liaison has the goal of moving that member of Congress towards supporting a carbon fee and dividend. And here's a little important point of clarification. Even though we have liaisons, each CCL member is encouraged to personally write and call his or her member of Congress and to do so frequently. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Brett, who's going to talk about the levers of political will.
Great. Thank you so much, Amy. So if we say that our goal is to create political will, then what are we really talking about? And we're really obligated to clarify what we mean when we say that. Political will. Well, one definition of what political will can be defined as is committed support among key decision makers and those who influence them for a particular policy solution to a particular problem. Well, that's us. And where does it fit in exactly for us? It basically means that taking actions that will move the member of Congress that we have in the direction where we would like them to be is our monolithic singular focus. As you may remember from the intro call, we've replicated the model for generating political will that has been used by the organization called Results. And moreover, from interviewing members of Congress and people who study Congress, we have a deep understanding about what creates political will and what doesn't. And here's why that's important. We really believe at CCL that we're only going to ask volunteers to do things that we know that will have a very good chance of generating political will. Specifically, that means that we take actions that we know will be successful in having members of Congress move in the direction of our legislation. So, all that being said, what creates political will? The great thing is we've organized and structured our actions into five levers, what we like to think of them as levers of political will. So first, there's lobbying. Nothing is more impactful than citizens meeting frequently and speaking to their members of Congress or their staff directly. So when we meet with them often in order to show them that this is legislation that something in their constituents' districts back home care about and educate them on how our proposal will impact their state or district, that makes a difference. This is the most highly leveraged activity that we can do. The second lever of political will is media, and all about relating to media. We work with both print and digital media in order to serve the conversation towards carbon fee and dividend. This involves writing letters to the editor or op-eds. It also includes meeting with editorial boards of newspapers and pitching story ideas or doing television and radio interviews. That third lever that creates political will is what we like to call grassroots outreach. We recruit and educate the public on climate solutions. We advocate as citizens and how to participate with one's government. And on the top, we have the fourth lever that creates political will in grass tops outreach. And that focus is really seeking to educate, build partnerships with, and gain support of community leaders and non-governmental organizations on both a national as well as a local and district level. We'll get into each of these again in more detail, but that fifth lever that creates political will for Citizens Climate Lobby chapters is really growing on group development. Developing a movement at the grassroots level in terms of both numbers and skills is what allows us to lobby more effectively, to generate more media, and to do outreach. And it is through the growth and management of the local CCL group or chapter that it becomes possible to push on the other four levers for building political will. So you'll notice, for example, that we don't ask people or our volunteers to sign online petitions. This is because members of Congress have told us that online petitions are not meaningful to them. And as you will see, writing personal letters and taking the time to send those or personal emails to the member of Congress both to your local newspaper or to your local member of Congress, is one of the most effective means for building climate action. So to really kind of dive in and get the details on what some of these might look like on the ground, Amy is going to go more into detail on those associated actions for each lever of political will. Amy?
Thanks, Brett. So what's so wonderful about CCL is that there's so many ways to get involved. At first, we encourage you to do the things that you're most comfortable with. And then as you gain confidence, we encourage you to push yourself to doing things that are outside your comfort zone. To create political will through lobbying, you can become a liaison or a co-liaison in your district or state. You can attend a meeting with your member of Congress, either in Washington, D.C. or in your district. You can become a subject matter expert on a key aspect of carbon fee and dividend. For instance, how the proposal impacts the district through creating jobs, stimulating the economy, or lessening local climate impacts. Creating political will through the media may include becoming the point person for a local newspaper to watch for opportunities to write letters to the editor, writing letters to the editor, and op-eds on your own. Getting to know your editorial board and the key reporters at your local or state newspaper, and watching for opportunities to be interviewed on television or radio. Now, Brett will take it from here.
Great, thanks, Amy. So the third lever of political will is engaging on the grassroots level. And this means recruitment and education, essentially. Some opportunities with grassroots outreach include tabling at local events, training to become a public speaker and looking for next opportunities to speak or present. Or if you prefer to not be a speaker just yet, you can help by even identifying opportunities to speak at, you know, local events or organizations and lend a hand in helping organize those events. The fourth lever of political will is what we call grass tops outreach. And this means building partnerships with and gaining the support of community leaders and non-governmental organizations. Some opportunities for grass tops outreach include identifying key experts and leaders in your community and to seek their endorsement as a way of influencing your member of Congress and highlighting that local leaders want them to take action on climate. You can also seek out endorsements from other areas or other leaders throughout the country. We have a very comprehensive endorser database, and you can really help educate leaders about our proposal and how it will impact the local economy or community where you live. Finally, that last lever for building political will is developing your local chapter, which is absolutely critical to success. Some ways that you could help here include helping organize the monthly meeting and building up kind of an outreach and communication to local chapter volunteers to make sure that they know they're invited to attend. Helping with chapter ongoing communications, upcoming events, hosting a social. You could also invite new members or mentor kind of incoming volunteers as a way to contribute and help them get caught up to speed with CCL. And so I think in review, why don't you just walk through each of those levers one more time, Amy?
Thanks, Brett. Well, we haven't gone through all the opportunities for each of the levers in this lesson, but as a new volunteer, we'll encourage you to discuss with your group leader where you feel like you can immediately pitch in. The levers for creating political will are lobbying, media, grassroots and grass tops outreach, and group or chapter development. Now, there may be times when you think your group is experiencing a lever that seems stuck. For example, you've met with your member of Congress several times and they agree carbon fee and dividend is the best proposal. However, they will not support the carbon fee and dividend until there's support from primary voters or businesses in the district. This is an example to demonstrate the support the member of Congress needs in order, and so it makes sense to ramp up outreach to businesses or community leaders and also to grow your group. Now, Brett will discuss building relationships.
Great. Thanks so much, Amy. So, as you know, what we are trying to do is not necessarily easy or is going to be easy. But as the results model proves, citizens who are passionate, well-trained, and organized by congressional district, and who have a great system of support across the country, can more than influence the political process. And that's where you come in. So, what CCL is set apart by is that we are building ongoing positive relationships with our community on the topic of climate change and with members of Congress in order to create that political space that allows our members to do the right thing and move in the direction that we want on this critical issue. So when we talk about building a relationship, what does that look like? I think one instructive example that we always turn to is the story about Gandhi and General Schmutz. You may have heard of the story of Mahatma Gandhi's efforts to convince the British to end their colonial rule in India, but something that a lot of people don't know is that before he came back home, Gandhi actually fought for the rights of Indians in South Africa as well. And in doing this, this brought him straight into contact with the head of the Transvaal government, General Jan Smuts. And so the story goes that when they met, Gandhi immediately and quietly told the general, "I've come to tell you that I'm going to fight against your government." And laughing, the tall, towering, imposing General Smuts looks back and says, "Oh, really? And do you have anything else to tell me?" "Well, yes, Gandhi," says. He says, "I'm going to prevail." Smuts was astonished at the audacity of this statement and said immediately back, "How are you going to do that?" And Gandhi, without missing a beat, smiled and said, "With your help." Years later, Smuts admitted that this is exactly what happened. He says in his own biography, "Gandhi appealed to what was best and most noble in me." Let me repeat that. In saying what happened, General Smuts said, "He appealed to what was best and most noble in me." Now, I have to admit, when I heard this story at first, I thought it was pretty outrageous. How could we expect ourselves to accomplish what Gandhi did? But this is just what is at the heart of CCL's methodology, using genuine respect and appreciation to see the best in another person, and using that to then find common ground and build relationships is exactly what we're about. Gandhi sought to build out a relationship with General Smuts, and as we work with people to build relationships here in today's world, we are empowered in that process as well. And this is because it connects us on a personal level with whomever we're communicating, whether it's a face-to-face meeting or a written letter to the editor or an op-ed that we might pen. This is the fundamental heart of what CCL is about, and it's what we are about in training in this organization's mission and purpose for today's webinar. Amy, would you like to take it over from here and review an example of how starting a meeting with an appreciation helped the CCL lobby team?
Yes, thanks, Brett. I want to tell you a story. It's about one of our volunteer teams when they were in Washington, D.C. at our 2013 CCL National Conference. They were supposed to have a face-to-face meeting with their congressman, who's very conservative. But when they arrived, it was a staffer who was there to meet them in the outer office. An area that kind of had short divider walls to create individual workspaces, kind of cubicles. And so although they were disappointed not to have a meeting with the congressman right there, they introduced themselves and they told the staffer how much they appreciated the congressman for his environmental work he'd recently done, which was a project at a local wetland. Just then, a voice chimed out from one of the workspaces. "Why, thank you. I feel very good about my work on that." And out came the congressman from behind the divider, and he joined them for the rest of the meeting. They were astonished. He possibly had thought the group was going to rant at him for not being a climate hero, but instead they appreciated him, and that was what got him to come out and meet with them. This is the value of appreciation. We use it to begin meetings or letters to the editor, but it's not just a kickoff device. We work to keep appreciation in our mind throughout our interaction, and it works. It's important because some of the people we may have a predisposed view of us, like we do of them. So forcing ourselves to appreciate them not only changes their view of us, but it also takes the chip off of our shoulder about who we think they are. It helps us to remove our own innate biases and see them as someone who we want to build a relationship versus seeing them as an obstacle. We show appreciation not for them, but for ourselves as well. Demonstrating and feeling genuine appreciation puts us in a generous place and allows us to remove our bias and seek understanding and, most importantly, common ground. One of the things you'll notice is a change in the body language of the other person when they see that you didn't come to shake your fist at them. So this is our one rule. Treat everyone, even those who disagree with us, with respect, appreciation, and gratitude. Now, Brett is going to close the lesson by introducing us to an important concept and tool. Brett?
Yeah, thank you, Amy. So let's wrap up part one today by talking about preparation and our laser talks. What we like to think of a laser talk as is essentially a bite-sized advocacy resource, right? So it's at the heart of how we learn to be effective advocates. Each talk is a brief, really powerful statement, and it focuses on one aspect of our issue. We practice these talks out loud to each other, and we use the talks as a basis for letters to the editor, op-eds, or as well as just having a grocery store conversation or advocacy and outreach efforts throughout our home districts. And as we all know, practice makes perfect. So let's dive into that. What does that really look like? Well, in really understanding the power of practice, if anyone's read Malcolm Gladwell's books, in one of those works, Outliers, he shows that this is a very important concept. In that book, what he does is discuss research that was done at the Berlin Academy of Music. And in that study, researchers divided up violin students into three categories: those who were stars, those who were good performers, and those who would become teachers, but not performers. It turns out that the number one predictor of a violinist's future career was, get this, the number of hours that they practiced. So for future teachers, they had amassed a total of 4,000 hours throughout their lifetime of practicing. For the good performers, you guessed it, 8,000 hours. And for those who are categorized as stars, well, here's what the study unveiled. Every single one of them had practiced at least 10,000 hours. And the most compelling part is that there wasn't a single violinist who had practiced 10,000 hours who wasn't a star. In other words, what I take that to mean is that 10,000 hours of practice guaranteed that you'd be a star violinist. And according to Gladwell, 10,000 hours of practice is the magic number to become a virtuoso at anything. So getting back to CCL, we have dozens of laser talks. They're all available on the public website. And the good news is that we don't expect anyone to practice these for 10,000 hours, but we do have to practice them to the point where we can speak about them without thinking and really internalize that language into our own words. This is going to help you in writing letters to the editor. It's going to help you in talking with politicians, or even when you talk with Uncle Vernon, who's skeptical about climate science. So you're going to find that even more quickly than you expect, by taking the time to slow down and read and practice, you will deliberately be soon comfortable with and conversant on some of these topics if somebody were to ask you on anything from China to jobs in the economy, or simply how carbon fee and dividend complements or would correspond to the Clean Power Plan. So by practicing these laser talks, we become very good at responding to a wide range of issues that relate to global warming. So one thing that we're going to do is actually practice right now on this call. If you're video conferencing with us, on the screen, you're going to see the carbon fee and dividend laser talk written out here. If you're on the phone, this laser talk is also available in the new volunteer toolkit that we can send you. So we'd like for you to read the laser talk out loud to yourself and take 30 seconds now after that to read it out loud. I'll go first and then you can repeat as well in your own home. So carbon fee and dividend is a fee placed on fossil fuels at the source, starting at $15 per ton of carbon dioxide emitted and increasing to the rate of $10 per ton per year. The net revenues then are collected and returned back to households, and two-thirds, when we've done studies, break even or receive more in their dividend checks than they pay in higher prices. Now, if you would, without looking at the text, practice sharing what you've internalized from the laser talk by saying it again out loud in your own words. What's some part of the talk, as you think, that you remember in particular? Perfect. You can hit the pause button if you weren't quite done, But by practicing these laser talks like this, it's a really useful way to get a good grasp of the basics in a way that we can then share with others. To finish up, I'll turn it back to you, Amy.
Thanks, Brett. That brings us to the end of this part one of Climate Advocate Training. In the final lesson, lesson number two, we'll cover CCL's method as well as a discussion of political will, how to find common ground, and how to build relationships. We'll also cover a wide range of economists from both parties and why they support a revenue neutral price on carbon. But before we sign off, I'd like to suggest to you a few things. To check our website for upcoming lobby days and our conference in Washington, D.C. It's an amazing experience. We have lots of training and a day of lobbying on Capitol Hill. I know it was life-changing for me. So here are some next steps to help you get involved. Along with joining the Citizens Climate Lobby Advocate Training number two, we suggest that you go ahead and reach out to your group, your local group, or to your regional coordinator. Have you joined CCL Community, our sister website for CCL volunteers? You can register and log in for our sister website at community.citizensclimatelobby.org. And Brianna at our headquarters will send you a login and a password. Also, to check in with that group near you, you can also reach out to Brianna with one N, B-R-I-A-N-A at citizensclimate.org, and she can help you find your group, log into CCL Community, and attend your next meeting. If there's no group near you, we'll connect you with the regional coordinator. And for Brett and I, our contact information is Amy, A-M-Y, at citizensclimate.org, and Brett, B-R-E-T-T, dot Cease, C-E-A-S-E, at citizensclimate.org. We're growing by leaps and bounds, and our goal is to support you in this important work. So contact us if you need help. I'll do my best, and Brett will too, to help you and direct you to the right person, if we're not the right person, to help you with a question. Thank you for joining this webinar, and we'll see you at the Climate Advocate Training number two. And together we can build the political will for a livable world. Thanks, everybody. Have a great evening.
Thank you, everyone.